Welcome to Whack Brackets, the podcast that not only rolls with the fatness, but knows exactly where the other half is. I'm your host, Mike, and I'm very lucky to have on a couple of guys from what I would consider an educational podcast, but they think it's random. I find it fascinating. They're very intellectual guys, much smarter than me. I think you're really going to enjoy this. And this episode's also one where we're doing something a little bit different. The strategy's the same, but the topics are a little different. And I chose it because I think these guys can pull it off. But I got June and Tad from the Puzzled Minds podcast. And if you want to introduce yourself and your podcast, now's the time to do it.
Thanks, Mike. So I'm June. I'm one half of Puzzled Mind podcast. Our slogan, I think, is just, you know, we kind of help piece together those 2 a.m. thoughts. And so we kind of have a wide range of topics. We kind of go through the alphabet A through Z, and you know, whatever letter that we pick, it kind of corresponds to the topic that we do. And it's not in order, so we don't go from like A to B to C. It'd be A to F to Z to Q. You know, last week we did B for body positivity, and next week this is a Whack Bracket exclusive. It'll be simulation theory.
Ooh. Yeah, I do a little bit of simulation on the side. I won't bore people with what I do on the side. But with that said, do you want to add anything, Tad, or do you want me to just jump right in?
I guess, you know, we have a giveaway that we're doing, or we're going to announce tomorrow. Again, another Whack Bracket exclusive, depending on whenever this is uploaded. But we're going to have some stickers that we're going to give away with our logo on it, and a free t-shirt, a tie-dye t-shirt that one of our friends that she makes. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, that's real cool. This podcast actually is going to go out Monday. So if you guys haven't given away all the good swag by Monday, my listeners are in for a treat. Otherwise, they're going to go there and they'll be like, they gave all the stuff away.
No,
and then no, I'm going to get hate mail.
No, but you're good.
I probably won't get any more hate mail than I normally get. So that's good. But anyway, I'll explain real quick what the Whack Brackets are and we'll move on. Pretty much what happens is we bracket things off in a typical bracket contest, but we change the question every round. So, for instance, if we were to do a Whack Bracket, and we're not doing it on this episode, but if we were to do insects, one of the questions may be a cricket versus a worm, which is more uncomfortable to shove up your nose? Probably a worm would be my guess, but I won't go into the details on that. Do you guys have an opinion?
I'm going to assume the worm just because of the way that it moves. I'm going to assume that, you know, I guess it just moves in a weird way that it'll be kind of be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to go with the worm because, man, the logistics of shoving a cricket up your nose, actually getting crunched up in there. Mm. I'm like, I already don't like that. So if I have to, go with the worm.
All right. So then what we would do is the next round, those guys would advance and the worm would advance to the next round. And he may face, let me think, anybody got an insect we can throw out here?
Dung beetle.
Dung beetle. Okay, there we go. A dung beetle. We'll make this one simple. Which is more likely to be seen on a dog turd? And it'd probably be a dung beetle, would be my guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty good chance.
Yeah, if that dung beetle can advance in the first round, he's got it made in the second round. But we don't know because we're not sure if he's going to advance because we don't know the first question. Long story short, that's the quick and dirty explanation. But this Whack Bracket, like I mentioned, is going to be a little different than some of the ones we've done. This one's going to be a little more cerebral. So what we're actually going to talk about is instead of things, we're going to talk about experiences. So things that people may have experienced or things that theoretically they could experience. And like I said, these guys are kind of experts on coming up with some real strategies and things and really talking in great detail about things. And so I've made this Whack Bracket especially for them, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it. So if you guys are ready, I'm ready to spill it.
Let's get it.
All righty. This one is question one. More likely to leave you feeling hungover after experiencing it. Would it be time travel or would it be an alien abduction? And I'll let you start out, John.
So I thought about this for a little bit. I guess time travel, I guess you would be discombobulated going through whatever you have to go through. But alien abduction always has like a negative connotation. You know, it's always about probing or something like that. And, you know, we don't really know what the side effects of a probing could be. You know, maybe aliens could be nice. They could offer us some space stuff. But with that being said, I think alien abduction, I think, would still be my hungover thing because we don't really know what aliens could do and what their side effects are. So I'm going to go with alien probing.
You've got one, Ted?
Yeah, all right. I'm thinking I'm going to go with time travel, actually, because time travel, like, I always picture time travel like being in like a car that's driving really fast and then you look outside and everything's a blur. And I figure, like, imagine looking at that and then all of a sudden it stops abruptly and then you're in like the 1940s, or it stops abruptly and then all of a sudden you're in like, you know, feudal Japan. Alien abduction just seems like, I always picture it, me just randomly chilling, like I'm on the bed, park bench, whatever, you know, drinking some coffee, and all of a sudden I start floating and I immediately know what's going on. I'm like, ah, damn it. Of course it's me. I'm floating and I just zoom into a ship and that's it. I think I'd accept it pretty quickly versus time travel. Right. I'd be like, what the hell is going on? Why is Benjamin Franklin outside with a kite stretched to a string and he just got electrocuted? What just happened? So I'm going to go with time travel. I think that's going to probably wreck me more.
Okay, you know what? It's funny because I rarely get put on the spot this quickly in a podcast. So usually you throw a random answer out because a lot of times my guests agree. So now we've got two people disagreeing. So now I actually have to break the tie here.
Sorry about that.
But, yeah, I'll give a little bit of backstory about time travel. Of course, they say that kind of the way time travel may work is through wormholes. We don't know what would happen through a wormhole. There's also some theory that I'm pretty sure that if it's not just wormholes, you have to get going near the speed of light. It seems like that's something that would really wreck you if you were going at the speed of light. I think even normal space travel has kind of a weird effect on the travelers, but especially when you're going that fast. I think Back to the Future totally lied to me. I thought you could just hop in a souped-up car and get hit with lightning and go back, and McFly's fine. But my opinion is you're going to feel something, and especially because there's exotic matter that nobody quite knows what that is. So there's definitely going to be something involved there. Alien abduction, back to June's point. Alien abduction, the thing is about it is, as June mentioned, we're not sure why they're here. He mentioned even that they may just be giving away things. For all I know, maybe they've got a podcast and they're giving away swag like our podcasters today. So it's possible they just came in trying to hook up with Tad and June and being like, hey guys, can we get some of that cool swag that we heard about on Whack Brackets? And they're going to be like, here you go. So you really don't know why the alien's there. I think if they do the gratuitous anal probe, you are going to have a hangover effect because there's a drug involved, most likely. Ooh. We hope.
Or fingers.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if there is fingers involved, hopefully there's a drug involved.
2020, some people are getting probed for free, guys. So let's keep it in mind.
With that said, I really do believe that the near light speed and whatever wormhole is, whatever exotic matter is, I think I'm going to lean with the time travel. So I agree with Tad on this one. I'm going to go with time travel.
Yeah, I think you just canceled our podcast, Mike. I think John and I are specifically going our separate ways now. No more Pokemon podcasts.
Well, if you guys want to be on here all the time, I'll just have you on. I'll separate you, though, because I know there might be something. I don't want you guys upset at each other, and I apologize I did that. I'm not a nice host. So anyway, that said, time travel has advanced. On to the winner of this Whack Bracket question, and this one, also kind of theoretical, more memorable experience, if it actually occurred to you. Would it be a near-death experience, or would it be a ghost encounter? And I'll let Tad start out this time.
So this is going to be a strange one, but I think a near-death experience is going to be the one I'm going to go with because I've only had one in my life, and I remember it distinctly. This was when I was in high school, sophomore year. Well, not sophomore, actually, junior high school. I was in upstate New York, and I remember specifically, don't ask me why, but it was me and a couple of my friends, and we're all like kind of like went around in front of my house. And I remember this girl had just got in a car. And for whatever reason, I'm really obsessed with car chase scenes from like the Bourne movies. I'm always like, if someone jumps on a hood and they're going like 60, like what does that feel like? Like the anxiety. For whatever reason, hopped in this girl's hood. She kind of floored it. And I remember my hands are slipping. It obviously wasn't going like 40 miles or 50, 60 miles an hour. It was going fast enough for me to almost like shit my pants. So I remember when she kind of slowed down, my hands slid. And you would tend to think that like, when I put my feet on the ground, I would slide underneath the car. But actually, I just started backpedaling like almost at the same rate in which he braked. And I remember flying. And it was one of those feelings where I was like, dude, like that could have been it. Like, what if I just put my feet on the ground and I just went underneath the car? That was it. But I still get anxiety just thinking about it because I remember that feeling I had when my feet hit the ground. I was like backpedaling. I'm like, I have no control of the situation. And I've never had a ghost encounter, but I feel like ghost encounters, I don't know if they would change me. It'd just be like, oh, well, that was weird. And that'd be it. I just keep on moving. So I'm going to go with near-death experience.
Okay. June, what you thinking?
All right. So my near-death experience isn't as intricate as Tad's. You know, the closest thing I've gotten to that was riding a roller coaster. But I don't really do stuff like that. And roller coasters are kind of like a near-death experience to me. But I'm going to go with ghost encounters. And this is only for me personally. The reason why I say that is because ghosts have like a connotation of being negative. Sometimes it could be positive, like a positive ghost that just follows you everywhere but doesn't do anything. But for me, at least, when a when something like that happens, like if I watch a scary movie, I can't get that out of my head. Like I'll always look in the closet to see if there's a ghost in there or underneath the bed or whatever that is. And just something like that, I don't know if it exists or not, is for me, it's going to be there all the time. It's just going to be on my mind all the time whenever I'm in that certain situation.
All right. So I'm having to split you guys again. This is making my life miserable over here. I'm loving
Sorry
it.
About that. Sorry
loving
about
to hate
that.
It and hating to love it. So this is great. Normally, like I said, I don't always get this much diversity, I guess, in the answers. So this is great. So I'm going to give you a couple of them here. As we know, with near-death experiences, they can lead to things like more spirituality, or some people think they're actually an old memory or kind of some other fake dream, I guess, false memory. You know, I guess from that, the near-death experience. Now, Taz's near-death experience was actually a real near-death experience. And he was going Fred Flintstone style behind the car, which is pretty impressive. Yeah, I mean, that would probably freak me out. You know what, Tad? I'm going to tell you one where I literally almost died, and this was not my fault. I was in a garage. I used to play music. And there was a guy, he used to play drums for me, but he was standing beside me for this day for some reason. He was there. We were trying out singers. My dad was hauling one of those big, like 100-pound fans or something on a rope right over my head, and it's swinging. He's trying to pull it up into the attic. And Scott looked up and he said, "Mike, you may want to move." And half a second after I moved, that rope broke and it blew my pedal board into like a million pieces. And it freaked me the hell out. I don't think I've ever even yelled at my dad, but I literally cussed him out for about 10 minutes because I was totally freaked out. And he looked over the edge as I'm cussing at him. He just says, "Sorry." I was like, "You almost killed me." So needless to say, I'd forgotten about that, because when I was thinking near-death experience, I was thinking totally like seeing into the light, which I'm not sure I believe all that. Yeah. As a ghost encounter, it's actually similar in this regard to an alien abduction. It's going to depend on what the ghost does. If he's a shadow, that doesn't concern me. If he pops my dog in the microwave and does something with my girl, that's going to be problematic. I'm going to remember that. I mean, for all we know, this could be an alien ghost, and he's going full anal probe on you, and that would be super weird.
It's like two times in a row now. It's like you get a probe. Spirit aliens?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, it just seems like bad things happen to the same person sometimes. Yeah, it's really unfortunate. So with that said, I'm going to have to think.
Your answer wise, Mike. This might be my last question.
You know, with that said, I honestly, even though that near-death experience happened to me, and it was a legitimate, much like Tad's, a near-death experience, I really don't think about that a lot. So I'm going to go with a ghost encounter, because much like June, I can watch Saw movies and laugh. I can watch like surgeries and it doesn't bother me. But for some reason, ghosts freak me the hell out. Mm-hmm. And I think if I encountered a ghost, especially considering that like ghosts could be anywhere, but especially if you encountered a ghost in your house, you're like, shit, this guy's always here. And then it's literally going to be in the back of your mind the entire time you're at home. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get any relaxation. So I'm going to... This one was tough. This may be one of the toughest answers I've had to give, but I think I'm going to lean towards ghost encounter on this one.
And with that, I'm still in this bracket. So hasn't
left the podcast yet.
Well, this is good. So I'm keeping you guys from coming to fisticuffs. This is great.
Figure it out.
Figure it out. So that being said, the third question is actually something that could happen, but it's an experience someone could have. The other ones I'm not saying couldn't happen, but questionable, whatever. A near-death experience could, but that's a different story because we went at it from a different angle. But the third one is this. Which is more likely to kill you? Would it be discovering an Egyptian tomb, or would it be beating Joey Chestnut in a hot dog eating contest?
All right. Damn. See, I'm going to have to think about this one for a little bit. But all right, so I'm going to go with my gut reaction, and it's the Egyptian tomb.
Okay.
Not the Egyptian tomb. The contest one, I think the worst case scenario is either like the most violent diarrhea you've ever received, or you probably just get constipated and this literally just turn into a mound of feces. But with the Egyptian tomb thing, I've heard stories about, I think it's King Tut's tomb or one of these, you know, famous pharaohs, that it's not beyond it being booby trapped. It's about like curses and stuff happening afterwards. Like even archaeologists that have come out of it have gotten like very sick and fallen like gravely ill and things like that. And I just feel like It always goes, it's the same mindset I have for Ouija board. I don't necessarily know if anything bad will happen, messing with it, but I'd rather not find out. So if I walked into a tomb and I'm just like, yo, this thing's been undisturbed for thousands of years, I'm going to leave it that way rather than be that one guy who's like, oh, yeah, bro, I'm just going to knock on this tomb and open up the doors and, oh, there's a giant mummy there. Okay, let me just go back to the office now. Like, no, I'm going to go ahead and admire it from afar and go about my day versus okay. The hot dog eating contest. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to die from it. I mean, like, I don't, I like Spanish food, so I live the diarrhea life anyway. So,
and by the way, Tad, don't probe the mummy, buddy.
You know, somebody's got to get probed other than me, and that mummy is going to get it. So,
fair game.
But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Egyptian tomb.
Okay. June, what do you think?
So, this is a really hard one because going off of Tad's point, you know, with, we always hear that these Egyptian tombs, you know, they're booby trapped and the whole curses, and it's kind of like, what is it, Schrodinger's cat, where, you know, you don't know until you actually do it, until you actually go into the Egyptian tomb. Mm-hmm. But I actually learned this like recently, and I don't know why it came up, but hot dogs are like the number one choking hazard.
Oh.
So, and you know, when I found that out, I thought about it. I was like, why haven't any of these contestants in here that have done this hot dog eating contest, how has no one choked? I think it's because of the water that makes it slide down. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. This is actually a hard one because
dude, if you die from a hot dog, that's just natural selection.
See, one is proven to be the number one killer versus, I don't want to say skeptical, but unproven. I'm gonna have to go with like facts. Like as much as I really want to come with like the Egyptian tomb, because I think that would be a cool way to die. Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna have to go with hot dog.
That's fair, and so I have to break it again. This is rough on me. That's all right. But I'm going to give you a little bit because I tried to do a little research on this. George Herbert's the guy that actually he funded going into King Tut's tomb, and he was the fifth Earl of Carnarvon, which I don't know exactly what that is, but apparently this guy had some cabbage on him. And he thought, they originally thought that he was a victim of a curse, but come to find out, the guy was really pretty unhealthy to begin with, and he died of a mosquito disease, some sort of, the mosquito bit him in the cheek and he died. So I won't say that completely debunked the curse.
Mosquito probe is what it sounds like.
See, everybody's getting probed in this podcast. Sorry, guys. So with that said, now I'm losing my train of thought. With that said, that was kind of debunked, but the one thing that is brought up is the traps, and those things are real. In Amenhotep's tomb, when they went in, there was actually a false floor and a large kind of deep, dangerous pit that people would fall into. I think they even said that the locals knew about it, and they would go reset this trap when more people came along because you shouldn't screw this up. I'm pretty sure that's true. I'd have to double check.
That's cool.
But there's also falling rocks, and you think that's gratuitous from Indiana Jones with the rolling rock. I'm not sure if it's a rolling rock. It's more probably falling on top of your head from the ceiling. But the one that I found to be most interesting was the Red Queen of Plank. Apparently, they painted her red, and this paint was toxic. So it was intended to kill people. So traps really do exist in these, whether or not curses do or not. As far as the hot dog eating contest, 75, that's a hell of a lot of hot dogs. And you can get, I'm assuming that he's going to, at least if you defeat him in that contest, it's going to be close to 75. He may only guzzle down 71, but it's still going to be a struggle. The water helps, but there are real legitimate problems that these competitive eaters can have. They can have gastric ruptures. They can get low sodium, which leads to seizures. There's also something called aspiration pneumonia that can be caused from competitive eating. And these guys legitimately train. And I think it was Matt Stoney, actually one of the few guys that beat Joey Chestnut. I think he was injured for a while, and they don't really talk about it, but these guys do train. There have been a handful of deaths, none in Nathan's, but there have been a handful of deaths based on this kind of competitive eating. Choking, surprisingly, if I recall, maybe wasn't one of them. That being said, hot dogs are more likely to kill someone because I think more people are likely to at least try to participate in a hot dog eating contest. Defeating Joey Chestnut, mind you, as far as I know, that's only happened maybe Kobayashi early on and definitely Matt Stoney once. So literally, that's going to be rough to pull off. But that said, if you find an Egyptian tomb, if it's still unfound, maybe it's unfound because they're resetting the traps and the natives are just going and relaying and they're like, ha ha, let's kill another guy that's coming and trying to raid our tombs. I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. You know, with this one, I think I'm going to lean Egyptian tomb. I think that's the way I'm going to go.
Smart choice, because if you get a seizure from a hot dog, yet again, that's natural selection. I'm going to talk to you. Like, can you imagine trying to explain to somebody, like, oh, what happened to John? Well, he was eating a hot dog the other day. He ate 47 hot dogs, and all of a sudden, it's blacked out.
Yeah, man, yeah, that's eating that many hot dogs. It's unnatural. That's insane. So I didn't know where to go with that when I wasn't sure. But yeah, I think at least the tomb is one. And like Tab was saying, if you get killed in an Egyptian tomb and people find out, at least you get a little respect. Nobody once died from out eating Joey Chestnut on their tombstone.
No one's going to mourn you. You're going to be... We're going to lie about how you died.
Yeah. So if this were the most embarrassing way to die, this is definitely the hot dog eating contest. But since it's a most likely way to die, I'm going to go with finding an Egyptian tomb. So that said, I've now split you guys again. I apologize. But we'll see if we can make it up here, because this one is a dumb one. I apologize. But which one of these would be a better show off in a dating profile? Would it be beating Garry Kasparov at chess? Or would it be being closely related to the Pope?
When I think of chess players, you know, I'm thinking someone who is very intelligent, smart, as a planner, has really, you know, qualities that you would love to have. But again, this kind of goes with the whole connotation thing. It depends on who you ask. But right. For the most part, you know, people think of the Pope. Oh, okay, I don't want to say. But essentially, if there are some conspiracy theories that the Vatican might actually be a devil worshiper ground.
Wait, what?
No. Well, I guess.
I think those are. Do you know what chick tracks are?
Enlighten us.
Okay, I won't go on too big a rant, but when I was a kid, I think they're Pentecostal. They're a little bitty comic, and it was by a guy named Jack. You have to look these up. These really exist. They're called Jack Chick, was his name. And they're these little bitty comic books. And the reason that I mention them now, it sounds like I'm coming out of left field with this, but. My parents went to a Pentecostal church, or at least my mother did. So some of these were around my house, and it said in those that the Pope was going to burn in hell because Catholicism was not pure Christianity or something to that effect. So maybe that's related. So I apologize. But yeah, check out Jack Chick and Chick Tracks after this. They're wild.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to check that. At least I will. But going back to the whole like connotation thing, like a lot of people, when you ask about Catholicism, they usually relate it to like child molesters, you know, like boy child molesters. So with that, I'm going to go with beating Garry.
Okay. All right.
That escalated so quickly. Child molesters and devil worshippers. I was expecting a dumb answer, but this man just went into a whole episode of Mythbusters.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah. That dark past.
Sorry to bring the mood down.
I'm trying to think. All right, so I'm gonna go with the chess, kind of like what John was saying, that chess is associated, you know, with patience, with intellect, with, you know, a skill set. So I'm assuming that if someone saw my dating profile and saw that I beat, you know, well, I forgot the guy's name, Garry, whatever his name is, I'm assuming Kasparov. Kasparov's one of the best in the world, or if not the best
at one time. I think he's dead now.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, but I'm assuming that like they would assume that, like, okay, this guy must, you know, this guy must be, like, ridiculously intelligent. We all know that, like, you know, intelligence is an attractive quality.
Right.
When it comes to, like, the Pope, my reasoning is a little bit different, because I just assume that if related to the Pope, if you're not a person, like, because people associate Christianity with having, like, being a very rigid person, or you being, you know, someone that's kind of, like, I don't know, like, has quote-unquote, you know, moral compass. If you turn out to just be like a regular dude that's out there like stealing bacon packets from like Walmart, they're gonna be like, this guy's related to the Pope. So I feel like you're judged more harshly being related to the Pope just on the basic things you do in your life. So yeah. Like, I'd rather not take that criticism. Like, if I do some sketchy stuff, I'm like, well, he's just a regular dude. But I'm related to the Pope and I end up in the news. That's a whole different situation. So I'm going to go with the chess one as well.
I've got to know, have you been caught stealing bacon packages, Dad?
No, that's the most random thing I could think of.
That's a good one. I was
making them a probe joke. But I'm like, you know what? That's like three in a row now. It's kind of like, switch it up.
It's getting a little old. So yeah. We went to that well too often. But that being said, I'm going to disagree with you guys. I don't think you'll change your answer, but at least want to throw out my opinion here. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't have to do with how it kind of has an intelligence factor, but I don't think that's going to play well in a dating profile. It may play well on like BobbyFisherBabes.net or something where you're finding chess babes who are really turned on by this. That being said, Bobby Fischer was a sexist asshole. But if people were into it, then they're probably turned on by arrogant assholes. And that's the problem I have with this saying in a dating profile that you beat Garry Kasparov, because it's very braggadocious. And I think if it comes up even when you're dating someone, apparently they wear this on their sleeve as something that they've done and they're very proud of it. But how much trig can you get out of that? That being said, putting you're related to the Pope, it's factual. But it's also a little more fun. I think when you go on the first date, especially if you're stealing bacon packages, it's going to be fun to talk about because, like, you're related to the Pope and then you kind of get some good traction. I think that you're more likely to get views. People are going to think you're fake. And then when you show pictures of you with the Pope, it's like, hey, check out the Pope here. You're like, oh my God, you are his brother. So I think you get some traction with that from a dating profile perspective, a lot more than being like, look, I'm smart. I want to tell you I'm smart. You're dating somebody who is not only smart, but a braggart. So just know that going in. So my opinion, at least, I think you get more traction out of being related to the Pope. So,
yeah. So I think just Tad and I have a negative connotation towards it. And I think that's why. But now I kind of understand where you're coming from in terms of like success with dating apps. Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense.
Okay. But I'm sticking with mine. Are you guys both sticking with your beating Garry Kasparov?
I'm still going with it, man. I still think, like, as much as it's a bragging thing, it's a pretty random fact. You know, it's at least going to get you a foot in the door. How long it lasts, I don't know, but I still think it's a solid Tinder bio quote.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep with it, even though I do understand your point of view.
All right, that's fair. So I can respect that. I can't always persuade the guests. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, but. As I said last episode, stealing from the old David Letterman quote, it's only an exhibition, it's not a competition, please no wagering. So this is all for fun, so I can take the L on this one. Since I've won every one because I've decided them up to this point, it's only fair that I lose one here. So with that said, I'm going to recap the first round real quick. More likely to leave you hungover after experiencing it, that would be time travel over an alien abduction. And then secondly, a more memorable experience, we're going to go with a ghost encounter over a near-death experience. More likely to kill you would be discovering an Egyptian tomb over beating Joey Chestnut in a hot dog eating contest. And finally, a better show-off in a dating profile, we went with beating Garry Kasparov in chess over being related to the Pope. So we are ready for round two. Are you guys ready?
Yep. Let's get
it. Okay. All right. In round two, it will be time travel versus a ghost encounter. More likely to occur at a Dunkin' Donuts. Would it be time travel or would it be a ghost encounter? June, we'll let you start out.
I think we have this reoccurring theme about talking about diarrhea, but with like Dunkin' Donuts, you know, eating donuts, I don't know if people get a lot of diarrhea or bowel problems in terms of eating a lot of Dunkin' Donuts and all the coffee and stuff like that. But I feel like, you know, if you were to eat a lot and then you just one day end up in there in Dunkin' Donuts and then you like expire and then your ghost is in Dunkin' Donuts forever.
That would be a problem.
The time travel through time to occur. Oh, well, you know, I guess now I'm thinking about it. If you take too much caffeine, you could probably think that you're time traveling. I'm going to go with ghost encounter.
Okay. Tad, do you have an opinion on this?
I was hoping John's going to take a little bit longer because
I'll tell you what, I'll jump in then. So give you a little longer thing, okay? And time travel versus a ghost encounter. I really did like June's point about dying and potentially being trapped as a ghost inside a Dunkin' Donuts, and that would be problematic. I don't think I've ever known or heard of a corporate business that had a ghost. You hear some of these like spooky hotels and things, but you rarely hear of ghosts that encounter these businesses. And any self-respecting ghost isn't going to hang around at a Dunkin' Donuts. It's a terrible place to be on the daily. So I'm just not sure about the ghost. That being said, time travel, here's one thing that you could be thinking of because this is a little different, and I'm going to approach this from the actual wording of the question because the first question was, you experienced it. This question is more likely to occur at. Mm. So technically, time travel could occur there. And imagine that you liked the Oreo culotta which is now expired, and you really wanted one. Well, say somebody went back in time, or say that somebody makes a time machine in 20 years and they remember their first whatever's popular Dunkin' Donuts. Say they stop serving those little mini donut holes, and they're like, oh man, I really want some of those donut holes. And then you see, hopefully not the DeLorean, pop back in, and hopefully it's a wormhole, because from what I understand, it's a lot cooler to look at in theory. DeLoreans are for dicks anyway. But yeah, you go through the, see some guy pop open a wormhole, and he gets in line, and then he orders a 12-pack of the donuts or the minis, and then he takes it back with him to the future and makes everybody happy. They're both, let's be honest, unlikely to occur at a Dunkin' Donuts. With that said, I do think the likelihood of time travel at a Dunkin' Donuts would occur more than a ghost encounter.
Do we have to assume that people actually go to Dunkin' Donuts?
Somebody does.
I guess because what is their motto? America runs on Dunkin'. Is that what it is?
America has the runs from Dunkin'. Is that it?
Explosive diarrhea from Dunkin'.
So, Tad, you get to break the bad news to one of us.
All right. After hearing both of you guys talk, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, all right, I can't picture any scenario where, because of me being in a Dunkin' Donuts, time traveling occurs. Like, none. Like, I just picture, what, maybe me going into the bathroom, coming back outside, and all of a sudden I'm in a different year. Unless the time machine is the bathroom and I didn't know. I'm going to go with the ghost encounter, because I'm sitting here thinking, like, all right, I know you said the whole corporate thing kind of just ruined my whole explanation, but I'm still going to go with it nonetheless, because it's hard to imagine like a corporate ghost. The second you throw corporate into it, the ghost story sounds so silly. Like, yeah, man, I was chilling at Walmart and this like really welcome, this conservative ghost came out of nowhere. I'm thinking like late at night, like abandoned like a Dunkin' Donuts in the middle of, you know, like bumfuck nowhere kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that would occur. So I'm thinking more than likely a ghost in the middle of nowhere would occur rather than me time traveling or a time traveling experience occur at all.
Okay. All right. I can't argue with that. Your logic's good. June's logic was good. That was just my opinion. But again, just because it's my opinion does not mean it was right. And apparently it was wrong. So with that being said, it looks like a ghost encounter is what's most likely to occur at a Dunkin' Donuts. And that is going to go off to the final against the winner of this question. Which one of these would more likely score you an endorsement deal? Finding an Egyptian tomb or beating Garry Kasparov in chess?
Yeah, I think this one's a little bit easier for me. I'm going to go with chess. Okay. Because I don't see how finding an Egyptian tomb should. Well, actually, hold on a second. I'm going to pull 180. I'm going to pull a call in Audible, Omaha Audible. Okay. I'm going to go with actually the Egyptian tomb. And I bet you guys are like, what the hell is this dude talking about? Why an Egyptian tomb? What skill set is shown by you finding a random tomb? It could show you an adventurer. So you could be that guy that's just known for finding things that are quote unquote unfindable. So you could get an endorsement deal with like one of these like weird TV channels like Spike TV, where they like have the most random crap on there. It's like, this guy goes around the world and finds stuff that doesn't exist or now exists. Like, you could be the guy. But the whole chess thing, it's like, how many people are going to sit there and watch you play chess? Like, I know being a world-class chess player is no like small feat, but I'm going to lie, 90% of people don't care. Like, they're like, you see that guy, man. Like, he just totally kicked that guy's ass in chess. And I'm going to be like, great. But if you tell me that you found Atlantis 2 weeks ago, and now you're about to go down to Sahara to find some other tomb, I'm going to be like, that's cool. When can I come with you? Huh. That's my answer.
Okay. What do you think, June?
Yeah, I was at first when you had said beating the chess player, I was like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. Like, for the same exact reasons that you had mentioned, you know, like, while being, you know, beating a chess player is no small feat. Like, again, you could tell me that and I'd be like, so what's for dinner? Like, that doesn't matter to me. But again, with the whole discovering the tomb, essentially, like, there's more of a positive reaction to having something that's unknown, you know? Like, I think people are more fascinated with the unknown than the known. So that's why, you know, having that discovering of a tomb is more exciting for people, and then it'll bring in views, and then it'll help with the brand and stuff like that.
Okay. So yeah, this is actually going to be a clean sweep. I'm going to try to give Kasparov, the Kasparov winner, a run here, even though I'm honestly voting against him. But I guess maybe you could be online chess games, your image is on there as the face of an online chess game. Or I know that there was a musical called Chess that I think a couple of people from ABBA wrote. Maybe you could be the face of the chess musical. I really don't have a lot, honestly, but with the Egyptian tomb, if you discover an Egyptian tomb, as June said, and as Tad was also saying, is that you're looked at as an adventurer. It's more impressive. It's you may be viewed as in a higher regard because you may find something. Beating a good guy in chess is not a big deal. I mean, is a big deal, but not as big a deal as discovering Atlantis, for instance. And Tad was giving out some great examples of things that he could sponsor. I was thinking those little things that help you find your key where you click on it and they beep or whatever with your, or yeah, I think you do it from your phone and you find your key because it has a little square thing on it. Yeah. I mean, he could kind of be pimping for that. But another thing he could pimp for, which I think would sell like hotcakes, is imagine house slippers shaped like a sphinx. Those would sell like a bitch. So I would totally buy those. And if that guy was selling those, I would give a lot for a nice pair of sphinx-shaped house slippers.
You know how mad I would be if I was like, I just made the greatest discovery of the 21st century and now I'm selling slippers? I'd be like, you know what? This has actually ruined my life.
Hey, you know what? Michael Jordan sold underwear. And he was...
Did he really?
Yeah, he was a Hanes guy for a while.
Oh, I do remember... I thought you meant like he had his own personal...
Oh, no.
I was going to say, I was like, oh, I did not know that. But yeah, yeah. I remember hearing something about the Hanes
thing. Yeah, I mean, he had his own shoes. Yeah. You know what? I guarantee if he had his own underwear, somebody would buy it. So, not me. But nobody wants to see me without pants on, much less in some sporty, trending underwear. That's just going to gross a lot of people up.
Some Calvin Klein's.
Some Jordache, if you recall those. I warned you at the beginning of this show, I'm not the smartest man, guys. I know how to put a white bracket together. So
you certainly do. That's probably one of the funnest things we've ever done.
I'm glad to hear that. It's been a great podcast, but we're not ready to close out yet. We got one more question. We can't leave without a winner. We could, but that would make me an asshole. And even though I am that, I don't want to do that to my loyal listeners. So we will wrap this up with one final question. One question to rule them all. Which one would be harder to convince a loved one that you'd experienced without actual proof? Would it be a ghost encounter or would it be discovering an Egyptian tomb?
Can you explain that one?
Sure. Yeah. Imagine that you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, and you're explaining to them, hey, I encountered a ghost. And they're like, can you prove it? And you're like, no, but kind of wording through and explaining maybe the steps versus finding an Egyptian tomb. How would you go about convincing someone without actual proof?
Okay. Yeah, my bad. Okay. That makes sense. Oh man. Of course we pick the two that are the hardest ones to convince someone of. I'm going to have to go with the tomb on this one.
Okay.
Because, you know, if we go back to the whole traps and curse, you know, maybe you'll have some scars from the tombs. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you might get like a disease or a curse that might end up killing you in a few years. Yeah. You know, but with like ghosts, I mean, I feel like the only thing that you can really prove is not really proven, but you know, you might have some, that's about it. Like this is whole kind of like circumstantial, you know, you can't really prove that you were at a tomb unless you took treasure from the tomb, which I highly doubt you'd be able to. But with that, I'm going to go with tomb.
Okay, so it'd be harder to convince somebody about the tomb, discovering the tomb?
Oh, harder to convince. Sorry, see, I might be a six in reading. I don't really read very well.
Again, I could have provoked that wrong, but which one would be harder to convince somebody of?
Oh, then yeah, we're definitely going with ghosts.
Tad, what you got?
Okay, so I'm going to go with the tomb as well.
You're going to go with the ghost as well?
Yeah, no, the tomb. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're going with the tomb.
The tomb, actually, because I feel like I've heard so many good ghost stories. Some that have been like, I guess, let's say for them, like, I believe, actually, and they sound good. And the ones that are complete bullshit also sound good. So it's kind of hard to prove to somebody that, like, okay, this is not true because what? Like, what's, it's just based off who you believe, right? But with discovering a tomb, the amount of, like, I guess, detail you would have to go into it, I think, is more believable. Could be hard to make up. It'd be like if I gave you an in-depth explanation of how I flew to Egypt and went on this like expedition in the middle of the desert, all the detail out there, I'm just the greatest liar of all time to come up with all that before it happened. versus a ghost, I can make up any good ghost story right now. I can be like, I'm walking down the street and I saw a flicker. Then all of a sudden I saw like a little shadow across the street. Like, how can you tell me I'm lying, you know?
Right.
Because they all sound pretty similar in fashion. Like, I've never heard a ghost story that has been told. I'm like, yep, that 100% is a lie, bro. Like, the way you told that, lie, or 100% true. It's just based off the person. So the tomb one, it just seems like you would have to be a very good liar to come up with that for it not to be true.
Okay, so it would be harder to convince them then that you've actually seen a ghost.
Yeah, it'd be harder to convince them. Yeah, so harder to convince them that you've seen a ghost.
Okay, so I think it's going to be a clean sweep because, June had some great points and Tad had some great points about, you know, the likelihood of possibly ending up with a scar or the possibility of lying your way out of that. You'd have to do a lot of research to convince someone that you'd been in an Egyptian tomb without being in one. And then it's still going to come off probably fake. And I'm wondering if even an Egyptian tomb, most of the times they make them look great in the movies, but I'm sure they're just using like little bitty flashlights and they're kind of moving around. So it's probably not as exciting as it seems, like most things in the movies. But yeah, ghost story. As much as I hear good ghost stories all the time, and I used to watch some of those ghost encounters, I'm just never convinced. I went on a ghost walk in my hometown here outside of Nashville, and they tried to talk it all up. It's like, oh, a ghost appear here and ghost appear here. It's like, has anyone ever seen one? And like, yeah, we've got pictures. It's like, well, why don't you share those pictures? It seems like everybody wants to have you believe, and maybe it's because they can sell a movie or sell a ghost tour. But at the end of the day, in like you said, a shadow, that's a ghost. Anything's a ghost. It could be just a misdeveloped film. It could be a reflection in a mirror that somebody sees from a... So yeah, a ghost story, there's too many elements to it that could be fake. There's no lying when it comes to an Egyptian tomb, in my opinion. So yeah, with that said, it sounds like the harder thing to convince a loved one that you experienced without actual proof would be a ghost story. We're actually experiencing a ghost. So I guess that's pretty much going to wrap it up. So yeah, experiencing a ghost wins our experiences bracket. I had no idea how that was going to turn out. So I'm not even sure I thought that one was going to get past the first round, but here we are at this point.
There you go.
So awesome. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this, guys. This is, especially with this one. I know it at times the questions were a little awkward, and I appreciate you guys leaning into them, but this was, it's a lot easier sometimes when we have objects and subjects. But yeah, these are a little more cerebral, and it gets you thinking a little bit. So
oh, definitely.
So yeah, and I knew you guys would be up for the challenge, and I was not disappointed.
Had fun with it.
Good. Yeah, I loved having you guys on. This has been a whole lot of fun. So I'm going to close out, but before I do, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves if you want, pimp your podcast one more time, and pimp your giveaway if you want.
Cool. So like I said, you know, we're Puzzled Minds Podcast. You know, you can find us on Instagram at Puzzled Minds Podcast. Our Twitter is Puzzled Minds Pod. And our email is puzzledmindspodcast@gmail.com, where we do encourage everyone to submit a topic that you want us to talk about. We still haven't received one yet, unfortunately, but, you know, we still are waiting for that one listener that will give us that one topic. And yeah, like I said before, we'll have a announcement tomorrow, the 12th, and you know we'll be giving away stickers and a t-shirt, and that'll go on for a week. So what is today? Today's Thursday or Wednesday? I don't know what today is.
It is Wednesday. Yeah.
Wednesday.
Okay. Or no, it's Tuesday. Oh.
Yeah. I was about to say. Yeah. Wait. Did we actually time travel? Damn.
Wait. Is it really
Tuesday? It is Tuesday.
Damn, it is Tuesday. Oh, wow.
You threw me for a loop when you said Thursday, and I was like, it's not Thursday. And then you're like, Wednesday. I was like, sure, it's Wednesday. And then I was like, no.
Okay. So I guess, yeah, we will announce it on the 12th. So that means your listeners will have 2 days to get in.
Yeah, that's it.
Definitely. Well, thank you. You know, like I said, if you ever want to do this again. I would love to do this because these are the stuff I think that, it kind of coincides with like our, you know, 2 a.m. thoughts that we think about like just random ass shit like this. And I don't know, for me at least, this is probably one of the funnest ones that we've ever done.
Good. Did you have a good time, Ted?
Oh yeah, dude, this is actually the most fun I've had on a guesting on a podcast.
So this has been a lot of fun having you on. It's been an objective of mine to have you guys on, and you have not disappointed. So thank you. And as our listeners will probably not hear about this until hand, but I will make sure and get these guys posted out on there and get their promo out. So hopefully you guys can win some stuff and start checking out their podcast as well, because it's a good one. And with that said, if you want to leave me a note, you can do that at Whack Brackets on almost every social media, on the Facebooks. I don't go there very often, but you can do that. On the Twitters and the Instagrams, I'm on both of those a little more often. If you want to send me an email, it's mike@whackbrackets.com. And as well as, if you guys want to send any kind of thing you want to discuss, actually send me a voicemail and just kind of like attach it to a private Instagram message, or send me an email and I will try to get your question on. Or if you want me to do some kind of Whack Bracket, I'll do it maybe as a live feed or maybe on the actual podcast. Either way, I do appreciate everybody, and I really do appreciate having June and Tad on. And with that said, I'm going to check out, and I'll let you guys carry us out. See you guys later.
All right, man. Everyone have a good night and stay puzzled.
Yeah, take it easy.